This is Sung Me Moonstruck, Kissed Me Quite Insane. A Stranger Things fanfic, written by Here Jess Roar, and read by Rena Jenkins. This story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Chrissy Cunningham, Eddie Munson, with additional tags for Post Stranger Things 4 Volume 2, Spoilers, Canonical Character Death, Afterlife, Getting Together. Listen, you cope your way, I will cope mine. That shit hurted. Religious discussion, kinda. Summary. Death isn't quite what he expects. Neither is hell, for that matter. Someone is stroking his hair. Gently. Kindly. The way he remembers his mother, and then later his uncle, doing for him when he was sick, or when he'd had a nightmare. Or when his father had been especially drunk that night. And that doesn't make sense, because the last thing he remembers is the cold, cold ground, and Dustin's sobs, snot and tears dripping onto his ruined shirt as he did his damnedest to tell the kid it would be okay again. He isn't a fool enough to believe that he was right. Death is cold and lonely. He wishes to God that it had been lonelier, because Henderson was just a kid, just a poor little lost sheep, one of Eddie's favorite freshman ducklings, and God, he hadn't deserved to see that. He wishes Dustin had had the good sense to stay put. But there's a part of him, a selfish and dark part, that's also very glad he hadn't actually been alone at the end. And he's very grateful that he doesn't appear to be alone now, either. I heard you, you know. A jolt goes through him. He knows that voice. He knows what it sounds like, scared. What it sounds like shaking with startled laughter. How it echoes across the gym at the pep rallies he almost never bothered to attend unless he thought he could get away with staring at her like everyone else was. Eddie opens his eyes. I've never had anyone dedicate a song to me before, Chrissy says, her smile wide and kind and fond. Her cheer uniform is crisp and clean and free of bloodstains, the way it had been when he'd picked her up after the game a lifetime ago. She sits next to him, legs bent at the knee, her hip pressed to his shoulder, facing him like they're hanging out in the grass of her backyard or something. What was it, anyway? She asks, nose scrunching in a way that makes his heart stop all over again. Metallica. He manages to croak. Chrissy considers that. I liked it, she says. You did really well. His breath catches in his chest. And he doesn't want to examine that, so instead he looks around. It's a whole lot of nothing at first. And then, all at once, it's his living room floor. Home. He is home. Oh, Chrissy says, looking up at his ceiling. I wondered where you bring us. She smiles again and looks back down at him. I woke up in the woods, at the picnic table. Eddie pushes himself up on his elbows, and Chrissy reaches out to help him sit up the rest of the way, her fingers curling into his vest. The chunks he knows were definitely missing from his chest are missing in a completely different way. He's whole again. And even though he can feel that it's true, he can't help but check anyway. Chrissy brings her leg up further to rest her chin on her knee. They told me if I was a good girl and always went to church and said my prayers, I'd get to go to heaven. She tips her head, looking at him with soft eyes. What do you think? Eddie snorts, because he can't help it. I think a merciful God wouldn't have done this to you, he says. And he says it without thinking. Now, doing this to me, on the other hand, that should make sense. Chrissy huffs, and she looks so genuinely distraught for a second, Eddie wishes he could take it back. You didn't deserve this either, Eddie. You're a good person. And Eddie doesn't know how to respond to that. So he doesn't. And Chrissy keeps talking, her eyes just a little bit far away. I think I went to the picnic table because it was the last place I was happy, she says. Isn't that funny? I was losing my mind, but you made me smile when I didn't think I could anymore. The wistfulness in her voice nearly undoes him. He can't take it. I left you. The words tear from his throat, and oh God, he can't hold back the flood of guilt. You asked me to stay, and I ran, Chrissy. You were scared, she says, and reaches out to wrap her slender fingers around his wrist, like she's trying to ground him. Or herself, he doesn't know. Who wouldn't have run after seeing what you did? Eddie swallows. And he thinks he knows what this is. His own mind, trying to absolve him of his sins. Creating an image of the girl he'd let down to do it. It tastes bitter on his tongue, knowing that he's using her this way. Tainting the memory of her for his own selfish need to assuage his guilt. Jesus H. Crucified Christ! He just couldn't let her go, could he? No. Because Eddie Munson is a selfish bastard. And the second that Chrissy Cunningham had said, I don't want you to go, he was gone. Gone for her all over again. For the pretty cheerleader with a perfect ponytail and the sad, sad eyes. He managed to make her smile once. I'm real, Eddie, Chrissy says. And for a second he wonders if she suddenly developed the ability to read his mind, which really wouldn't lend any credence to her claim that she isn't a figment of the imagination. It's written all over your face, she says, looking exasperated. I'm here. It's me. Eddie swallows. Yeah? Prove it, Cunningham. Chrissy snorts, and fiddles with the cuff of her sweater, wrapping her arm around her shin and biting down on her lip. What am I supposed to say? You'll think your mind made it up. Something. Anything. And he doesn't know why he's suddenly so desperate to be sure this isn't Chrissy, that this couldn't be Chrissy, but he knows that the very idea of her ending up in the same place as him is wrong. And he's been told in no uncertain terms that he is going to hell for a number of reasons. He's not scared of that. What scares him is the idea that someone like Chrissy Cunningham, who did everything right, who worked hard and put down all the right pieces in the puzzle, could still lose as badly as he has. What kind of fucked up God would allow that? Who could look at this girl with her big smile and her sweet eyes and condemn her to the same eternity as Eddie Munson? I asked to wait, she says, and Eddie startles. If it was going to be now or 40 years, I asked if I could wait. Her eyes are so round. So full of sadness. I wanted to tell you I was sorry for scaring you. Eddie's heart shatters. Because no way in hell could his mind have made up that. Never in a million years would even his subconscious let Chrissy Cunningham apologize for her own gruesome death. Chrissy. He chokes on her name, and Chrissy buries her face in her knees, her shoulders shaking. His hands reach out for her before he gives them permission to, getting up on his knees as the worn carpet bites through the holes of his jeans.
I didn't want to die.
Chrissy sobs, her breath catching in her chest, like it was being pulled out through her ribs against her will.
I didn't want to die, Eddie.
And Eddie can't help that he pulls her to him and lets her fist her slender hands in the fabric of his shirt. She falls limply against him, nose buried at his collar as he runs his palms up and down her back. His calluses catch on the fabric of her sweater. I know, he says. Me either. Eddie lets her cry herself out, and lets tears stream silently down his own face, dripping off his chin to land on her shoulder, until Chrissy takes a deep breath. She sniffles, and it's an ugly, snotty sound, one that breaks his heart. It's so stupid, but all I can think is that prom was next week. He doesn't laugh at her, because all he can think about is how he was supposed to have a new amp delivered, one he'd been saving for months. Eddie squeezes her, just a little.
You'd have been prom queen. I voted for you.
And Chrissy laughs.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't,
he agrees.
I would have, if I'd known it would have made you happy.
Chrissy stills and pulls back. Eddie lets her go without resistance, no matter how badly his arms ache from the loss. He curbs the urge to pull her in again by keeping his hands around her elbows, ready to support her if she needs it. Or if he does. She looks at him, considering. I don't know if it would have, she murmurs, her eyes boring holes right through him. Being prom queen, I mean. Her fingers are still twisting into the hem of his shirt, and he doesn't think that she realizes she's sending sparks up his spine with every graze of her nails against his stomach. It's definitely not an appropriate time to point it out. He wonders if it's possible to die twice. There's mascara smeared down her cheeks, and he's pretty positive he's got matching black spots on his shoulder, but Eddie doesn't mind. Then what would have made you happy? He asks, and it comes out more softly than he really means to, but by God, he can't help it when it comes to this girl. Chrissy's brow furrows, and she looks at him like he's somehow both an idiot and her personal savior. You do, she says, and Eddie's heart soars. I already told you that. Eddie Munson can't help it when it comes to Chrissy Cunningham. He can't help playing the fool to make her laugh. He can't help the way he wants to wrap her in his jacket and hide her from everything evil in the world. He can't help pulling her in and letting her cry into his shirt. And he especially can't help that he ducks down to kiss her. She gasps against his mouth, a sharp little inhale that has Eddie second-guessing himself for all of a second, but then... But then, Chrissy's mouth is soft and inviting and open against his. Her tongue pressing against the seam of his lips, asking to be let in, and Eddie lets her. Her hands tangle in his hair, and Eddie knows he is in hell, but Jesus, this may as well be heaven, with Chrissy's perfectly manicured nails scratching so lightly across his scalp. Her fingers grip into his roots like she wants to keep him there, and Eddie groans. They break apart, and Eddie knows that the pink blush painted across Chrissy's nose is mirrored on his own face. Chrissy watches his mouth as he stammers. If you apologize for that, I swear I'll smack you, Eddie Munson. And Eddie barks out a startled laugh, because this whole situation is ridiculous. Chrissy Cunningham is dead. And so is he. And he just kissed her on his living room floor, with mascara flaked down her cheeks and tear tracks drying tacky on his. Absolutely nothing about this makes sense. But what else was new? The last few days haven't made a lick of sense to him. Why should the afterlife be any different? And it's Chrissy who leans back in, presses her mouth sweetly to his, chaste and kind, with her delicate fingers on his jaw. She holds him like he's something breakable. Eddie chases after her when she pulls away, and she laughs, a sparkling, sparking giggle, brushing her thumbs over his cheekbones. And as much as he could stay in this moment, he has to ask, because he has to know. "Where do we go from here anyway?" he says, and Chrissy tips her head curiously. "Does this place have a rule book?" "Through the door?" Chrissy says, like it was obvious. Eddie gives her a look, taken aback. She shrugs and brushes the pad of her thumb against his bottom lip. "When we're ready, we just leave, I guess. I asked to wait. I didn't ask for instructions." "When we're ready, huh?" he says, and watches her watch his mouth. "Might be a while." Chrissy looks up at him from under her eyelashes. "Yeah," she says. "And we'll go together, okay?" "Together," he agrees, and pulls her back to him. The end. Author's notes. Listen. "Chrissy, this is for you," he says, like I'm supposed to be okay again after that. Spare comment for your poor writer. She's losing her mind. Reader's notes. Okay, it's possible that because I have seen Beetlejuice on Broadway so many times that I'm wishing that it was my other new fandom that I'm reading into this, but long hallway of nothingness with many doors. And is there a handbook for the recently deceased? And also the bit where you guys died together. That never happens unless it's a murder-suicide, which makes for a super awkward eternity. Which is like directly out of the Beetlejuice on Broadway. The good news is you and your spouse died in your own house. That gives you clout. I can't sing. Anyway, look, I'm just saying that Eddie and Chrissy in their afterlife is possibly leaving a door open for a Beetlejuice crossover because it's also got Winona Ryder in it. And Stranger Things needs to give that to me. Please, Stranger Things fandom, please find a way to make a Beetlejuice crossover /AU/Fusion happen. I need that. Anyway, thank you to Hear Just Roar for writing heart-wrenching and yet also reassuring canonical character death continuation. And X-Man Hater, this podcast was recorded for you as part of ITPE 2022.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it and or cried, one or the other. Any emotion is satisfactory. Everyone else, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day. The good news is you and your spouse died in your own house. That gives you clout. That means the two of you should stick around. Looking for you, I stop by. Yeah, you seem like nice guys. A little on the pottery barn and dry white wine side. Yes!